Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and germs, this is, with all due respect, and as Rick Wright likes to point out, it is the greatest show on earth at this very moment inside my house in Rick's, wherever the hell Rick is right now. So this is Jim Ellis here on the West Coast. We have Mr. Rick Wright on the East Coast, I bet. How you doing there, Ricky?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. I'm just laughing because every time that's like our new thing now. The greatest show in the history of shows. I don't know what the fuck that is. I'm on my couch, just chillaxing in my house.
Just chillaxing. So you know. Oh, that's cool.
Well, the reason
I took that line, the greatest show on earth, is because I think Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. That was their line, and I think they're done. So now that they're moved out of the way, here we are, Rick and Jim, you know? So
that's
let's
awesome.
Do it. Be in the moment.
Yeah, we got
two dudes talking
how you
about
doing,
the truth.
Mike, want to catch up a little before we get into
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you want to get into it?
Yeah, I had last week off. Thank you for you and your partner filling in on With All Due Respect last Friday. I was filming an episode or two, actually, a full conference. Of a men's right activist conference that we'll talk about in a bit. But, I'm fired up. You know, it's good to be back in the saddle of filming, editing, writing. That's my purpose, and it's good to get the opportunities. So I'm feeling kind of fired up right now. It's been a while. That's good. How about you?
Cool.
What's happening with you? Your chillax.
My chillaxing. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. It feels like Mercury's still in retrograde. It's like it never came out, and I'm having some great wins, and then you know some highs and lows. It's you know my usual middle of the road, peaceful, mindful, blissful sort of existence is. It's not that, but again, it's like if I look at it, it's not. You know, it's like I can't complain. It's like a lot to be grateful for. I was just chatting with my mom beforehand. Catch up with her at the beginning of the week and the end of the week and telling her about, you know, about the, she goes, well, she goes, we're going to hit the lottery. And I said, Mom, I said, we got everything we need. And I just started running through all this stuff. And she goes, you know what? She goes, yeah, we don't really need anything. I go, but we have wants. And we started going through our wants, you know, a house in the Keys and then the house in Marty because she wants to go to Atlantic City. So that's where I'm at. Besides that, health is good. Life is good, but you know, it's like that little up and down, that nice little that middle spot has sort of been up and down a little bit. So that's where I'm at, man. And how about you in general? Besides, you know, the film gig, it was probably cool. How's everything else going in your neck of the woods?
Just trying to turn things around, and I'm getting some motivation around. Career, I don't know, I get kind of tired of bringing it up with the same old story, but the good news is, as far as career and finances, you know, the challenges are high, and so that means I just need to consistently look for and put myself out there and stretch, so that's what I'm doing, and I'm actually getting to that place where it's like a hunter. Like a hunter's on, oh, man, darn, I got to get up, pick up my rifle and go hunting. No, it's like, you know what? This is what I do. So I get up, I'm going to go do it, and it becomes a game. You know, life becomes a game rather than this mean-spirited, the enemies are against you, the odds are against you. Forget that, you know? No, let me do my best. Let me put myself out there, and if I have any negative thoughts that come up, maybe shoot those with my rifle. I don't know. Do what I need to do. So
that's cool. Yeah. I like that. I like that whole context. And then the one word that's been really been like my word for like the last month has been consistency. It's like if I consistently do X, I consistently get result X. And you know, you said you know you've been putting yourself out there. Like I made a verbal commitment to my team, and you know we can by now I think. audience might know, might not know. I don't get into it, but I put it out there. And since then, I was on a Bigger Pockets video, which I think you saw a little bit of.
Yep.
I did a seminar for a real estate investing group about all about mindset. And then also, I've been trying to go live on Facebook, but I still haven't had any success. Well, I tried. Last time I tried was the last time you and I were on the phone. But it's just, you know, I just get that consistency is such an important, you know, it's such, what is it? It's a concept. It's not a concept. It's an action, right? It's just, it's, what would you call it? What would the word consistency be labeled as? A noun? It's, you know what I'm saying? I mean, my wife, she's got the big grammar brain. She would tell me right off the bat. But anyway, so like, if you look at it, like you and Jennifer have been consistently cutting out certain foods and eating other foods, right?
Right.
So yep. what has been that result?
Right. So yeah. So I've lost 25 pounds or something. You know, more energy. And it's true, like, yeah, your consistency in anything you do is going to have a result, obviously, over time.
Yeah, and whether you're not going to go back to those old habits. It's not like a diet. No. You're like, you made a conscious effort to get rid of these things. And the funny thing is, that's like the greatest thing. Like, if people can just understand, if you want to just talk about diet, like, if they can just consistently, and it's not consistently eat salad, it's consistently don't eat the shit that's keeping you fat. You know,
right.
If you're eating a ton of processed food, sugar, you know, tons of carbohydrates, you know, you're going to be fat or you're going to be overweight and you're going to feel, you know, you're not going to feel great. If you consistently eat, you know, don't eat those things and consistently move your body, you're going to get, another result. So it's so cool. I just picked up on that and I just wanted to just fucking riff a little bit because I'm
No, it's true, because I wanted to mention, too, around my career is in my business, probably in yours as well, when you're reaching out and you're soliciting for business and things like that, you can't let a no, somebody saying no, defeat you, put you down, or, like, take you off stride, because that could affect your consistency of reaching out if you take a no
yep.
to something that's so detrimental. So now I just have this whole big list of, you know, people to call around this one documentary that I'm doing, right? I'm looking to do
mm-hmm.
a documentary on PTSD on the police force, you know, the police force.
Yeah.
A lot of stress and trauma. We don't really consider it that much, and they don't either, but it affects them. So we have to look at that. So I've been putting it out there. I can get a ton of either no's or what we call the California no is when you just have people bypass it. That's their way of saying no, is they just ignore you, sadly. But it doesn't freaking matter because you just keep putting it out there. And what did I have last week? Check this out. I had a meeting with a sergeant in La Mesa Police Department, and we had on the phone with us the director of communication of the city of San Diego and the actual San Diego district attorney, not the assistant, the actual district attorney. And Summer Stefan, and she's like, I am so behind this project. I totally believe in it. I'm like, okay, now we're playing. Now we're in the game. Let's go. So,
yeah,
but weeks ago. What?
Yeah, and that all came about from just having a conversation. Remember we had our guest?
Yeah.
And then you and I had a conversation offline. So, like, that's awesome, man. And, like, that's such a higher purpose. And, you know, just as long as you hit it big, man, just put me on the staff. I'll be security, man. I'll sit at the front desk. As long as I can afford to live in California. Actually, I can't live in California. Fucking liberal bastards. You're going to end up being the Republic of California soon, by the way.
Right. Well,
we'll just
take a road trip to Jersey and maybe just stay or something. We'll see.
It's right over the border in, like, Nevada or New Mexico, and I'll just work there.
Yeah.
Actually, Nevada, but New Mexico would be cool, man. New Mexico, like, every time I think of New Mexico, it's probably, you know, it's a state. It's got, like, all this cool shit. Every time I think of it, though, I think of, like, it's like an old, like, ghost town, like a Western town. Like, there's people still riding around with horses and fucking guns and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just seems like New Mexico is like, it's so far off the radar. Like, I never hear anybody say New Mexico or, like, anything to do with New Mexico, you know?
Right,
maybe
because
a lot of people don't like the current Mexico. They want to say New Mexico.
The new one. Well, you know, I think as far as you being security, maybe you could be like a virtual security. If you ever figure out Facebook Live, you know, we could just put your face like, hey, back off, you know. But anyway, well, you're just so you know, you're kind of cutting out just a little bit in and out, just a little bit.
Son of a bitch, man. I don't know what's going on, man. I have Verizon and my phone. Like,
space.
My phone is up high. Is that better?
It's a little
better.
Choppy. Yeah, I would like
to
say.
Still choppy?
Oh, there you go. Now you're back. I would like to say officially.
Am I back?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Good. I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right, good. So I would like to officially say, fuck you, Verizon, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what you might be chopping and going through right now, but what they did with my wife and the bill recently. So I think we could say that with all due respect. I just would like to say that and then let it go.
Can I say I second that fuck you, Verizon? Because I just think they're money grub, and there's no loyalty. They don't give two shits. Go ahead, go to T-Mobile. Go to AT&T. Sprint, you'll be back. We're still going to rape you for data, and you're just a pissant, and blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah,
fuck you. How's my sound now? I'm going to put my phone, like at the highest point that I could.
Of the house. Yeah, you sound okay. You sound good. And maybe Verizon's chopping in, and they're like, oh, we got to silence Rick, because we know where he's at. But, anywho, good shit. Why don't we, it's okay if we jump to the topic of the day?
Yeah, if we don't, we're not going to get to it, because it's already 12 after the hour.
Yeah. So speaking of standing up to Verizon or any other craziness, there's this crazy concept called men's rights. Men's rights. It's laughable for some when they think men's rights. Why should men have rights? They rule the planet. They, you know, they're in charge of everything. They shouldn't have rights, or even, you know, consider that. They don't. What are they fighting for? So I did go to a conference, a 40th year anniversary celebration and conference for something called the National Coalition for Men. It was in last Thursday and Friday in Old Town San Diego. And I got to film 2 days of presenters and speakers and panels about these concept of men's rights, standing up for men for their rights. So when that concept comes up, what do you think of, Rick, over there in New Jersey and conservatives and all that? What do you think of when you hear that concept?
Well, the concept of men's rights, every time I think of it, I always think of my thinking goes to, like, fathers – in, like, divorce and child custody battles. Like, you know, being in our men's organization, Mentor Discover Inspire, I come across men that are going through some stuff. And, you know, there was one man in my division who was going through a real, real tough time, you know, and the wife was just, you know, just unbearable types of shit, man, and just, like, really messing with, like, his ability to see the kid. It's disgusting. So that's what comes up for me. So I'm sure that there's a lot more to it, but whenever I think of men's rights, I think of how men are really dragged over the coals, you know, in any situation. You know, if there's infidelity on their end, if it's infidelity on their, you know, no matter what it is, it just seems like the men just get absolutely fucked in the ass. And I'm not going to apologize for using that type of term, but so give me some. I know that was probably an issue, but what are some other things that come up that men need to have more rights in this country?
Well, yeah. Well, it's I can speak. The phrase that I came up with for their video, which I edited together, was supporting rights for all. It's supporting rights for all. It's just that sometimes certain factions of our society need a voice. So the rights for all, I mean, shoot, there's even, you know, animal rights activists, because animals, you know, they need some rights, because we're maybe, you know, there's torture going on. Women, they need rights because of, you know, for their parts, you know, they're, you know, taking care of them in certain ways that they need a voice. Well, men, they're part of humanity, right? If we're talking about human rights, so men, they might need a voice as well. And so the voice is definitely what you, one thing you mentioned is huge, custody, you know. It didn't really come up much at this conference, but that's a big deal when you're talking about, you know, the well-being of a child, having a father, you know, shared parenting. That's what they call it, shared parenting. So if you don't have shared parenting, now you have a child who maybe is just raised by the mother. But what about the dad, you know? And if the shared, in the custody situation, I can't remember the term, but there's a term of custody where one of the members has more power of decision making.
Primary custody.
Her. What's that?
Primary custody.
She can decide many things that would actually take the father out of the picture, move away. I don't know all these details. There's others. You know, we have a friend, Fred, who knows probably all the details on this. Move away, you know, cut his percentage way down, basically living on the terms of the mother, which would cut the father out. And that, it's not just, oh, poor dad, right? Oh, the poor guy. We're talking poor kids. I mean, if the statistics for what happens to a child who doesn't have a father in the house, the crime rate, drug use, I mean, it's just so blatantly out there. So it's really trying to take care of kids as well for the custody part. The other parts, which really came up more strong in the at this event, had to do with false accusations. False accusations. So let's say a woman is not happy with her guy. Maybe she wants to leave, get a divorce. Maybe there's different situations. She can actually, according to the law, again, I'm not a lawyer, but there's the way the law is set up is she can accuse a male of sexual abuse or violence, and it's the law is just dead set against the man. He's got to defend himself. That could cost him tons of money. You know, it could just take the family down, really. And the amount of false accusations out there are, it's outrageous, mostly because what is the consequence? What is the consequence if you do a false accusation? A lot of times the man is just relieved that it was proven that the accusation was false and now he's set free, but what's the cost? What's the consequence? So I think it's like, it's just been out of control. And like the situation at, they had one of the speakers there, he's from USC, he was a student. At USC on the college campus, if a woman, you know, calls rape, that the the colleges have their own little due process, which is barely a process at all. The male is instantly pretty much proven guilty before innocence, which goes totally against the Constitution, the United States, you know, liberties and all like that. So tons of shit like that. Have you ever run across that false accusation? I mean, we've seen it in the news and things like that.
Yeah, I've never personally have run across anybody who's gone through that. I haven't gone through it. Just hearing about it. And here's the thing. It's like, that's like, you know, and the whole thing is, okay, so the greatest thing is like, okay, if he's guilty, he's guilty, right? If he's not, then, okay, oh, so then, yeah, he's great. He gets to walk away. That accusation, by the way, like, just has tarnished his reputation. So people will, like, some people will always judge that person moving forward. It's like, you know, like, you can be a teacher or something like that and be accused of sexual abuse. And it's like, boom, it hits the news. You know, this person's accused. It's not like it was convicted. This person's accused, bang, face everywhere. Then all of a sudden, lo and behold, they find out after doing some investigation, goes to court, everybody folds because in some cases, you know, not in all, again, it's due process. You know, but then after that, that person's life is in shambles. They're just shattered. They're fucked. So it's like, it's so, You know, and this is what I got the other day, like, just speaking on accusations. It just seems like everybody in their mother just has, like, they're able to just say whatever they want now. Which, and this is what I really got pressed. I'm like, wow, it's Facebook and Twitter. Like, everybody complains. Like, there's – I don't see many people, like, there's – you say one thing. Like, now there's stuff that's being said. Of course, it's political. But there's, like, well, they'll take one word. And there'll be people that love it, and there'll be people that hate it. It goes back to, you know, you can't please everybody. But, man, the number of voices and the number of people that actually put effort into saying that, you know, spreading that or taking a position or voicing their opinions in a, you know, sometimes in a shitty, bizarre way, it's just phenomenal. And it's because we have this huge outlet to do this now. So it's just it's amazing, man, you know.
Did you ever see any footage on Brian Banks? He was a high school football star who was in Long Beach, and he was ready to go to USC. Ironically enough, I mentioned USC already. He was ready to go as a football star, and he was falsely accused of rape by a classmate, and he spent more than 5 years in jail in a plea bargain. You hear about that story? Did you ever see
No. I'm trying to think. I think I might have seen something about it. You know, because
It was
when that, remember that kid who got accused of rape and he got like a slap on the wrist. Remember that Ivy League kid? And then I think I saw it because they compared him to the Ivy League kid. So the Ivy League kid, because he's got, you know, this great future, they sort of, you know, they let him go. Like it was a slap on the wrist, and nothing ever, you know, even though there was outrage out the ass, nothing ever came of it. It just was what it was. But I think I saw something along the line with that kid, the other kid, the one you're speaking of. So what ended up happening? Like, did he? Because he's a minority. But what happened? So did he get out? Did someone have to, you know, this kid's life's fucked up. Did someone pay for it? Is there a consequence?
Oh, so check it out. It's pathetic. Okay, anyone who's listening, I think Google Brian Banks, you know, false accusation. So he's a football star. And by the way, you mentioned that that white dude. Oh my gosh, that is not fair either. If he actually did rape, I mean, for him to be let off, that is not okay either. So it's, you know, we're after everyone's rights, right? We're after fairness and true justice. But anyway, so Brian Banks. He ends up, the woman who falsely accused him, years later when he's in jail, for some reason wants to connect with him again. And he's like, she does, huh? Sitting there in jail. She reconnects with him. And I guess the moron that she is, she ends up telling him, like on the phone, which I guess she didn't know he was
taped.
You know, he was recording. Somehow, I can't remember exactly how it was, but he got a recording of her saying, yeah, you know, he didn't rape her and all this. And then later she came in willing to talk to him and his, you know, I guess his undercover lawyer or something like that. Again, Google it, everybody.
Yeah.
She admits to it in front of it, and then Mr. Banks is saying, can you tell everyone? She goes, well... See, I don't want to have to give back any of the money. She got a ton of money because her and her mom, I guess, sued the school.
The high school.
So she got tons of money. She says, well, I don't really want to admit it because then I have to give back the money. What a fucking bitch. Holy shit. Horrible human being that she needs to keep this money. She doesn't want to give up the money. She, you know, she fucking ruined this dude's career. Okay, so I don't even know what the consequence was for her. I think somebody would have to sue her, right? It's not just like, oh, well, you lied,
well,
so you're going to automatically.
It's false accusations on her. I think that's a felony. There's some criminals. It has to be. No, now I have to look it up. I'll look it up. but he's screwed because he didn't go to college. Now he has this. Well, he doesn't have the stigma. Actually, you know what? Nowadays, it would be cool if USC was like, hey, man, we'll give you a second shot. But who knows now where he's at physically because, he was on a roll.
What ended up happening, it was 10 years down the road. You know, Carroll, I can't remember, you know, Coach Carroll from USC at the time, He was the one who was recruiting him at the time. So 10 years later, Coach Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks then said, come and do a tryout. So he actually had a tryout, but he's, think about it.
Yep.
What are the chances? The last time you played, you were a junior in high school, and now you're 10 years later.
Yep.
He didn't make the team, but he had a chance. But this is just, this is an example of where the rights of men, in this case, need to be looked at, not because of anything compared to women's rights or animal rights or duck rights. You know, it's, it has to be stated that men need to have legal rights so that this kind of shit doesn't ruin men's lives just because another person said something. It's crazy. Where's the due process? Anyway. But that's a good example of
like what
the conference was about. Kind of chopping in and out again.
Bitch.
I know, what a bitch. So,
what about suicide rates? Okay, am I better now?
Yeah, you're good. Suicide rates, as far as
making me, Brian's making me get off the couch.
that's another mark against them. Besides the poor customer service. Suicide rates in terms of men versus women?
Well, men, you know, like when, you know, I know that, you know, I read, you know, the story about, you know, a man gets a woman, files for divorce, has a couple of kids. He has to leave the house, go get an apartment. Apartment has to be satisfactory to the wife, you know, garnish, you know, half the, you know, his half of his pay has to go, you know, to support everybody. You know, it runs up to be like almost a dead end. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, inevitably the suicide rates are, you know, up for men, you know? Did they talk about anything about that?
That wasn't really something that came up. Though there was a lot of other cool presenters that talked about, one of the cool presenters was Cassie J. Cassie J, she was a staunch feminist, young filmmaker, made documentaries about women's rights, and she ended up doing a documentary, started a documentary, looking into what's called MRAs, men's rights activists. So she thought, she thought she'd do a documentary, kind of like exposing them, but she's really went in pretty much open-minded. She created a movie called The Red Pill, People could look that up, too. So in her process of interviewing all these MRAs, men's rights activists, she started to realize, shit, these people have something to say. I understand. And it actually changed her life. It changed her relationships, where she had this chip on her shoulder a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, in her relationships, kind of a little anti-man inside of part of her brain. She softened up that part of her mind, and now her relationship with her man is so much better. Her life is so much better, except, of course, right now she's being attacked. She's being attacked by a lot of women's activists.
Yeah, a lot of
say,
feminists.
Hey, you betrayed us all. So she was great. It was a great conference. I was glad I went. And I'll put a link to some of the because I did all the filming, and I have some footage that's on YouTube. I'll put a link in there about it.
Cool.
No. But it's important to talk about.
Absolutely. That's a fucking
Any other questions? We got like 60 seconds. Nah. I guess I'll
just won't you plug. We should plug sharing like our site with friends, and you put your link in there, and you can find me, Rick Wright, on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like me, share me.
Share me. See me, feel me, touch me.
Share me.
So we're running out of time, but I will tell the audience, yes, go to Facebook. This is the way right now to find us until we become super duper famous where you won't even be able to reach us. Right now it's facebook.com. Type in With All Dude Respect. Separate words. Find our page, and you'll find us. And be with us each Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern, with all due respect. Great show, Mr. Rick.
Cool, Jimmy. Yeah, great show, brother. All right, listen, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, take care. Talk to you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.